good territory planning an investment or an expense? That's a good question, isn't it? And I'm asked that continually, not just by emerging and new franchisors and people thinking about franchising their business, but existing franchise groups as well, even some who've been around for decades. And in actual fact, they've always had a fairly informal process. So this is a question I've put to our guest today, Peter Buckingham. Peter, I've known for the best part of 25 years, worked with him with many, many of our clients and his. And he's one of the co-founders of Spectrum Analysis. So that was back in the 90s. And prior to that, he had 20 years experience in the oil industry. He's a man who's had a handful of different roles, sales and management, and then a lot of specialized work in strategic planning and network development. And as well as managing Spectrum Analysis, he still enjoys being an active participant in many projects. I can vouch for that for sure. And he handles most of the specific site valuations they perform for major Australian and overseas retailers and other industries and sectors. So basically, I suppose at Spectrum, he's built a formidable team and a lot of resources. And over that time, you know, he handles areas such as site selection, including all the tools, territory planning, mapping, all sorts of apps and so forth these days, and building up data from things like, you know, the census and other major projects. He does a lot of work in the schools area, then local area, and educating people about his passion of basically of good network planning. So hello there to you, Peter. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, Brian. Great to see you or speak with you. I haven't caught up for a while. And thanks for the opportunity to talk to yourself and your clients.
It's a pleasure. Glad to have you here. So anything you want to add to that bio there? I don't know if I've covered enough.
No, you've covered me up fairly well. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. So let's kick off. The first question really is the title, you know.
Yeah.
Good territory planning and investment or an expense?
Okay, well, look, I believe if I was going to be a franchisor, and I would probably be expecting to be spending $50,000 to $100,000 setting my whole operation up, territory planning is really one of the most important parts, because if that's not done right, you end up blowing a lot of money on other things that happen because of it. So we really see it as an investment, not an expense. And if somebody says to me, oh, look, you know, budgets are a bit tight and we don't think we can do it, my answer to that is, well, go and sort your budgets out, because this is much more important than another bit of money spent on Google Ads or something of that nature. So we've always said that getting the territory planning right is all about trying to say, well, where do we want to be in years to come? And let's set those territories up now so that we're set correctly. And we work with a lot of quite big ones. And sometimes I joke with people, we should be called Spectrum Insurance rather than Spectrum Analysis, because it's the insurance to make sure things work right in the future. One of the ones I quote is F45 Training, who we do their work worldwide. And talking with the previous main man, Rob Deutsch, he trying to suggest to him, they probably left about 50 potential F45s at the time that could have been done here in Australia. He admitted that, and he said, but by now, what we've done, it's cast in concrete. We can't repair it, can't fix it. And at the time, he was getting going with America. So he actually had us cut roughly 11,000 territories across America so that at least he could start off knowing whether one territory was, if someone said, I need two territories, he didn't mind, because at the end of the day, he then had a starting point. And so often people go off to do territory planning and they don't have a starting point, and we'll come across somebody who'll say, oh, look, I want five territories in Perth. And we'll say, well, what have you done? Oh, well, I've given away everything north of the Swan River to Brian Keane. Oh, well, so you want four in the rest. You've given away over 50% of Perth, and you wanted to put one as there and four in the bottom, the other in the south side. So our joke is you can't unscramble an egg. And really what we're trying to do is make sure you get it right the first time, or pretty close to it, that you can just do some small adjustments as you go.
Yeah, because it's a learning process, isn't it? To not just for the new franchisor, but someone who's looking at the demographics and so forth. You only over time do you start to get a broader understanding of just who your customers are, unless you've got amazing analysis. So the other area that causes a lot of confusion, understandably, is the definition. What's the difference when we look at territories, exclusion zones, and marketing areas, Peter?
Okay, well, look, everybody calls it territory planning as a general topic, and I'm happy with that. But I try and say to people, what are you really actually trying to do? And I've broken it down and written some articles on this, of territories, exclusion zone, or marketing area. If we're doing somebody like, I'll use a Mortgage Choice or Aussie Home Loans, where they run a call center, then Brian, you're not going to be very happy if I'm the franchisor and I get it a little bit wrong. And instead of sending you the lead for this, this $5 million loan. I gave it to the other bloke because we got our mapping a little wrong, and yeah, bad luck. But he got the $50,000 commission after he wrote that loan, and you missed out. But you have paid me for that area. So when we do work in territory, what I'll call territory, it's very much black and white. You want an exact boundary. You want to know that if the call center is sending you leads that you're paying for, that they are right. Now, when we do territories, we always prefer to use postcode. And the reason for postcodes are everybody knows their postcode. You ask somebody their postcode and they'll know what it is. You ask somebody what suburb they live in. Quite honestly, many times suburbs are more like nicknames than the official name. So you might say, Brian, you live in Hope Island. There might be Hope Island North. And you say, oh, well, I live in Hope Island North. Well, it probably doesn't exist in what's called the mapping files, but Hope Island does. So you actually want people to know exactly where they are. So if I say to someone, what's your postcode? I'm sure, Brian, you can tell me your postcode very quickly, as can everybody else. Now, the postcode barriers are very delineated and exact. So a territory to me is something that has to be exact. I joke that it's a bit like the Berlin Wall with barbed wire on top and people standing on each side with guns, not allowing anyone to cross. Now, when you are doing something of a site, something that's bricks and mortar, if you ask the franchisee what he wants, 9 out of 10 times he or she are going to say, I just want to know that the franchisor is not going to open another one in my backyard. And that's really what an exclusion zone is. It's saying to the franchisee, here is your area, you control it, you open what you want in that area. But nobody's trying to say, look, if a client says they live outside that area, you can't service their business. Especially, and we do a lot with gym groups. And you know, you'd imagine saying to somebody who comes in and wants to use your 24/7 gym, oh no, you can't come to our gym. You've got to go to the other one across the road or in the other suburb. Because they say, well, hang on, I work right next door. I do something else. So the point of it is a territory is black and white, exact has to be. An exclusion zone, it still has to be, same logic applies, but the thinking of it really is more about don't let somebody build one in my backyard. And then we sometimes have cases where people have done their territory planning correctly, and that's great, but they may have a marketing area where they say, look, we want to just drop flyers in letterboxes. So they may have made 20 territories across Melbourne, but at this point in time, they've only filled 10 of them. So the marketing area is saying, well, look, for now, you market into that area, you market into this area, and at least we could cover all of Melbourne if we did letterbox drops, but where it is something that can be changed almost at a whim. Mm. Another site opens up, the 11th site opens up. Well, the two people that are enjoying doing a bit of marketing across that area, well, bad luck. That's now gone because they're now in place. So I like that. You know, we've done one company was a very big nut sales company, and they needed marketing areas because they're actually wanting to do deliveries out of their doors across all over Australia. So if they went by their own actual territories, they had a whole lot of gaps. But if they went and said, look, for now, if a call comes in and we want 10 kilos of cashew nuts delivered to Hope Island, you're the person at Southport that'll do that delivery. But in 5 years' time, we might have another site open there. So don't think of it as a lock-in. Just think of it as a convenience that it's not your territory, it's an extension of your territory, but at least we can get things done. So that's why we try to just say to people, you know, there is a little bit of a difference in territories, exclusion zones and marketing areas. And the marketing areas are really flexible one. Anyone can do what they like. But the territories and the exclusion zone really need to be locked down, because I'm all about saying, if I'm selling a franchise, it's a franchisor, and somebody's selling something very, very similar, and my proponent, my franchisees obviously contacted them, contacted us, they're going to be weighing up things like, how much are they going to charge me? How good a support am I getting? And, you know, do I have a proper territory or exclusion zone? And if I'm locked in and got it all right, and I can show you a data pack or mapping to say this is your area and this is where we're going to be, I've got to be looking a lot better than some bloke that says, oh, look, we haven't really thought about that. And look, we'll get a bit of paper out and a black texter and we'll mark them out and we'll see what we come up with. Or, oh no, we don't have territories or exclusion zones. Yeah, a bit like Subway, we might be able to open another one, you know, half a kilometre down the road in years to come. So that's the whole reason I push this area, because I think it makes a franchisor look a lot better. And I joke with a lot of franchisors, my job is to make you look good. Now, that can be a challenge, But hopefully what we're doing is making them look good in front of future franchisees when they're trying to sell their franchise.
I think you gather listening to this, there's a lot of language. There's a lot of knowledge you need to accumulate, so it become it's it, you can virtually talk it on call. So that's why at the end of our conversation, I'm going to be twisting Peter's arm to give us some information, because I know he puts a lot of work into producing various documents and videos where you can get an understanding. So you need to better talk Peter's language to your franchisees, because it is a huge selling point. And the point he makes there about the territory, that's what you own. At the end of the day, that's what you sell. So the other terms and conditions, yes, there's a degree of flexibility depending on how fast the group is growing and so on. But Peter, a couple of quick questions. I mean, our postcode here, I don't know what the population is, but it covers about four or five suburbs. And sometimes you find that postcodes cover a large area, or in fact, a large population. How do you handle it when they're of differing sizes?
Okay, so there's about 2,300 post, sorry, 2,600 postcodes across Australia. Now, some of them are bigger, some are smaller. In Melbourne, Reservoir is a very big one. Glen Waverley, Mount Waverley. Sydney, Campbelltown is a huge one. But at the end of the day, we always have said to people, unless you're planning to go past about 250 territories, there is still enough flexibility to do postcode. Because you are right. But if I was, look, I'll give you a set of numbers I use quite regularly. If I was going to set up an operation across Australia, and I'm happy to write these down or people can take a note. If I was going to set up an operation across Australia and I wanted about 130 territories, okay, so that's a lot of big businesses we talk about, Bark Rubbers and people like that, they've probably got 80 stores and a lot of others. So, you've got to go a long way to get past 130 territories in Australia. 130 territories would roughly be about 100 in the five main capital cities, and including Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, Newcastle, Wollongong, Geelong, and then another 30 in the country. Now, if I was doing that 100 across the five main capital cities, I'd probably have about 34 in Sydney, Newcastle, Wollongong. I'd have about 28 in Melbourne, Geelong. I'd have about 19 on the whole of Brisbane, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast. So if I've got 19 out of, I'm probably only going to have three, maybe four on the Gold Coast. I'm just using your starting point. Now, if I had three or four, three on the Gold Coast, you can see even with a big postcode like Hope Island, it's still the whole of the north. I'm still going to be adding a whole lot more postcodes to break the Gold Coast just into three or four territories. So it's not until, and so our numbers end up at about 34 for Greater Sydney, Newcastle, Wollongong, about 28 for Greater Melbourne, Geelong, about 19 for Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, and Brisbane, about 12 for Perth and Mandurah, and about 7 in Adelaide. And that would give you about 100 Australia wide. Now, we normally say if you have 100 Australia wide, you'll probably have 20 or 30 more when you get to a mature stage 5, 10 years down the track. Now, that would include maybe one or two in Canberra, a Hobart, a Darwin, a Cairns, a Townsville. It's not hard to come up with 20 or 30 big-ish towns that you're going to at least center a franchise on. So the point is, when you've got about 2,600 postcodes, even if you're breaking up to a number like 130 across Australia, the average is still going to be best part of 20 postcodes. Now, where the really big ones are sitting, sure, you might only have 15 postcodes or 10, but there's enough, the tiles or the bricks are small enough that we can put them together. As I said, when we get over about 250 territories, yes, we have to start cutting down. So clients that we've had issues like that were ones like Poolworks. They have lots of small territories, but there aren't many of them. And to be honest, John O'Brien's obviously been going for very many years. So look, postcodes are the easiest way for the normal punter to operate.
Yeah, saves any arguments. So the thought you
Absolutely.
may be gathering here listening to Peter and what he's saying is, and it was earlier in his current response was, you need to make sure that the rules you make for managing your territories and your inter-territory disputes between franchisees are customer-centric, because at the end of the day, the example he quoted about the gym, the guy going to the gym, he's not going to, you can't expect him to understand that the gym down the road is another franchisee, that you're perhaps in competition. You just got to service him to make sure he's a customer for the group. So there has to be a group mentality, I think. And that's something you need to cultivate in the culture of the business. So thanks for that extensive definition there. So,
Can I just touch on the back of what you just said then, Brian? Do you mind
yeah,
if I
please
just ask?
do.
I just want to use an example. We've done a lot of work over many years for Mortgage Choice, and Mortgage Choice always quote as active and passive. So active marketing is, and thinking of them, they're trying to get a lead, they're trying to write a deal to sell a loan, etc. So when you buy a territory, the idea of active marketing is you do what you can in your territory. So you knock on doors, you stick your foot and your head in the door to try and get there, you make phone calls, you do local area marketing, you do everything you can. So that's good for active. Passive is when, and you hope that's where you're going to get most of your clients. Passive is when somebody outside your territory contacts you and they don't forbid you for doing it. But the idea is, okay, so it was your grandmother's best friend's son or something contacts you and they live wherever, it doesn't matter where. Yeah, you can do that deal. But while you're there, you don't go dropping flyers into the letterboxes up and down the street and try and do other things. You deal with the one that comes at you as a passive. You deal with it because there's probably some relationship to get you the intro, but you don't keep going. You back off again when you finish. So they call it active and passive. And I've always felt that was a very good description. And people need to think that way. I've seen a lot of franchises try and tell me they're going to have a sort of deal where if you do a job outside your territory, some of the money is going to go to the franchise or the franchisee that has that territory. And I just always wish them luck. And I've never seen it work particularly well. It just creates complications. But anyway, maybe computerized. Organization's got so much better now, you could do it, but I think you'd be spending half your time worrying about that rather than getting on with the business.
That's great experience to share, Peter. Thank you. That's pragmatic. So I suppose when we're making up territories, there's lots of data around, local councils, blah, blah, blah. What's the best source? What's the most reliable
Okay.
source from the point of view?
So look, every year, every 5 years, Australia spends, now it's about $350 million on doing a census. So the census is the one time where we all remember it. You know, thousands of people are out there on the roads. They're now getting us to do it much, much more with online. They had the big stuff up in, I think it was 2016, where the computers all broke down the night of when it came on air. They got it much better in 2021. So the point of a census is it really sets up government for all the sort of information they need to know. And they start asking questions of people about 5 years out. What do we need to know? What sort of questions are we going to need at the next census? So the point is that the census gives us incredibly good data. And you can say, oh, well, not everybody fills it in and all of that. But again, it takes them nearly 9 months from when they do the census till they release it. And what they do is they get in there and they actually, under the Census Act, have the power to come and knock on your door and double check how you've answered it. So what they're trying to do is enumerate and work out what under or overestimations are coming. So you might say, okay, my area, I think 90% of the people fill it in and 10% never did. Well, they'll come up with that and they'll make an adjustment. You might be out the back of Alice Springs and they might say, well, gee, we can only get about 40% of the people to fill it in. But they'll, by going back after the event, they'll then make that adjustment and say, okay, well, we got 400 people to answer it in that area. We now believe there is 1,000 people in that area. So it covers so many different things, like obviously population, household income, what type of house you live in, how many bedrooms it's got. All the different types of things are where your kids go to school. Do they go to primary school, secondary school? Do they go to a government school, a Catholic school, or an independent school? All of these types of things get picked up in the census and are used for a huge amount. So, look, when we go to territory planning, we might be doing it using number of people in an area. We might agree to be doing it using number of dwellings in an area. One we're doing at the moment, we're actually using households. Now, the difference between dwelling is a house, but there is a thing called occupied dwelling. Dwellings and unoccupied dwellings. So if it's a beachy resort, it might be only 50% occupied when they do the census, but and that'll help them know from number of households of how many donuts and things are going to be eaten. But if they want to know how many pieces of spouting need to be made for roofing and things, well, obviously the number of dwellings is more important than the household. So they do it in tremendous detail. So that's the first thing we fall on. The second thing we go to is instead of just using plain average household income, there is a measure from the government called SEIFA, Socioeconomic Index for Areas. So every area in Australia, right down to every little SA1, Standard Area 1, 57,000 of them across Australia, we can see what its socioeconomic value is. Now, they are very smart. Instead of just using household income, they take into account the price of of the house as well, level of unemployment in the area, probably a bit of ethnicity issues, all sorts of things that they feel have an effect on grading one area to another. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Average in Australia live at a CIFA score of 1004, and one standard deviation to the good side is 1100, two standard deviations, 1200. So, you know, Bellevue Hill, where Kerry Packer used to live, was probably a bit over 1200. And if we go the other way, 900, lowest socioeconomic, 800, and then maybe out the back of Alice Springs might be 500. The point is, we can then work with people to say, well, what's the socioeconomic and how will that have an effect on what you're selling and therefore whether certain territories need to be a bit bigger or a bit smaller. The other bit of data we go to very regularly is we do a lot of territories that are B2B. So it might be the likes of a Sinewave or a Sinorama or something like that that's business to business. And they want to know how many businesses are in their area, size of business, type of business. So again, the ABS put out a data set every year for every standard area two, which is 2,300 of those. And we break that down smaller of how many businesses are in each area by type of business and size of business. So whether we're doing a B2B or a B2C type of operation, or one that might say, look, 50% of our business is to end-use consumers, 50% is B2B, we make adjustments and are able to bring those factors together to come up with it. So my aim is always to say, in a conference in years to come, 10 years down the track, somebody will have say it's fantastic, they made $1 million. Someone else will say it's the worst thing they ever did. And your answer probably is, if you got out of bed before 11 o'clock, you would have done a lot better. But the point is, what you should be able to say with your hand on your heart, based on the assumptions at the time, is it was made so each territory offered similar opportunity. And that's what we try and hang it on, so that when you're a franchisor, you can go to the franchisees and say, it's been designed so each territory offers a similar opportunity. Now, whether you get to use that or not, that's not really up to me. But we also like to do a methodology report, which we actually do for the client and send it to them, the franchisor. And the idea of that is it does a couple of things. One is it spells out what we've done. Two is we are quite happy for the franchisor to pass it on to the franchisee. So if you get somebody saying, well, why did you do that? Or how was this judged? Or what are the things you can pass that on. And number three, in our own records, we obviously keep a copy so that when you ring us up 5 years later or 10 years later and say you want to change a couple of little things, we very quickly just go straight back to that methodology report and it's all written down. We keep our files of everything anyway, but it's normally a great way of even reminding the franchisor what was agreed on at the time, because inevitably they can't find it anymore. So that's our way of doing things, is do a methodology report, make sure that there's a sign off and agreement to that, and then we'll get on and actually get to cutting the territories. Maybe we do a sample group first around their home area and build it up from there, as long as they're happy with the way it's coming together.
Today I'm talking to Peter Buckingham from Spectra Analysis, and the question we're saying, you know, is good territory planning an investment or expense? Peter, the reason I love talking to you is you just get so much knowledge, profound knowledge, and you share so much with us spontaneously. So I had a couple more questions for you. You've covered those. So we're running well. So I think we've covered mostly whether there's anything to add, perhaps, with regards to the way you do cut up areas with regards to those demographics you're talking about. Was there anything that you'd like to add to that?
Well, I'd like to just briefly run through a process we try and follow for you. Yeah. So what we do is normally when someone contacts us, we like to send them a scope. So a scope is us saying, this is what we think you want to do. Because quite often, if I ask you to write a brief for me of what you want, honestly, you don't know what you don't know. The old Ronald Rumsfeld problem. So we normally will start off with sending a scope and say, is this from our discussion is what you want to do? We often will give just an estimate of price just so that we don't overly surprise people. We will then say, look, if you're happy with that, give us any comment, any feedback, and we'll then give you a proposal, or we work with Brian on the proposal. Once that's locked in, we're happy to work any way you want. So I always say to clients, we can do it one of two ways. If the head office, the CEO says, I'm going to have 150 territories across Australia, then I'll give him between 145 and 155 as we juggle things around. But so often we get it where people say to us, well, we don't know. We don't know our territories. We know our own area a bit, but we really don't know what we do across Australia. And we're happy with that. And what we say is, well, why don't we, where do you think? And you might say, okay, I think we should have 130 across Australia. I'll stick to my number. So what I normally say is, well, okay, where do you live? Okay, I live in Hope Island, or I live in Surry Hills, like we do in Melbourne. Why don't we build four or five territories based on the 130 number across Australia around your area? Just so you can see, because you probably know your own area best. And we're happy to do that. And then normally we'll get back and say, well, or they might say, well, show us what it would look like at 130. Show us just in our area if we had 100 territories Australia wide, or show us if we had 200 territories Australia wide. So it's very quick at that stage to just give people a heads up. And I call it the cookie cutter approach. So what I'm doing is saying, let us try and work with you quickly to make the cookie cutter you're happy with. And once I've got that cookie cutter in statistical terms, I can then go and bounce my way across Australia, making everything of similar opportunity or similar size. So we normally will do that, and we're quite happy to do that as part of the methodology report and the analysis phase of the business. So the other thing there in the analysis is we'll also say, if you've got an existing business and you've got existing customers and you've got their addresses, let's map them and have a quick look and just get a feel of how far out you go. So if I'm a 24/7 gym, I'm probably got 70% of my business within 2 kilometers of where I live, of the business. Even if I'm a say I'm an F45 or something that's a bit more tailored, I probably would have every 70% within 3 kilometers. Then if I was a single one-on-one personal trainer type gym where you come to my gym and I charge you $60 for half an hour, I'll probably find it takes probably 5 kilometers to get about 60 or 70% of my business. Once I can get that feeling, again, it helps me say, well, what is reasonable? Because if I'm a little 24/7 gym, maybe it is quite practical to put 200 across Australia and the C word, cannibalization, really shouldn't even arise. But if I'm the type of gym where I really are tailored and people are traveling 5, 10 kilometers to come to me, well, maybe I can only put 30, oh, 100 across Australia if we ever get to that stage. So we like to do that in the analysis phase and get a sign off, do the methodology report, everybody happy. Then we'll always say, let's do your home area first, your home city. So if you're in Melbourne, I'll do Melbourne. If you're up your way, Brian, I'd say, well, let's do Greater Brisbane. It's obviously Gold Coast, the Sunshine Coast, and Brisbane. Then I'll say, you're happy with that? Okay, next sign off. Okay, sometimes people say, look, that's all I want for now. I'm going to sell a few franchises in my backyard. Happy to go. Then maybe 6 months later, I get the phone call, oh, we're now doing Sydney, or we're now doing Melbourne. And sometimes we've had ones literally roll out within 6 months from that position. But I give them the opportunity rather than saying, oh, no, you've got to do all of Australia right now. Because sometimes businesses never get past their own home city, and that's okay. So we do it by doing a methodology report, getting all that happy. Like to do their home city first, and then we're ready to rock off across the rest of Australia. And we love it when people just say, look, we're doing the whole of Australia. We've already got inquiries coming in from other places. Great, we do that. We normally give a little discount to do that because it's easier for us. But that's the way we try and do it, is set it up so that you get what you want and tailor it. And if you don't know the number, don't just go picking, oh, 200 because somebody else said that's a great number. The cookie cutter approach of let's make a few around your own area so you get a look at, might be 1 million people live in that area, you get a feeling that you're happy that you would have five territories in that area or whatever it's going to be. So that's sort of what I'd like to say. And that's the approach we take. And I'm normally the one doing the talking. Our staff obviously follow what we decide on. And once we've got the rules set, then my staff normally take over doing all the bits and talk direct with the client. But I like to have the rules all established first.
So the secret sauce we're picking up here, everybody, with Peter, and the reason I just love working with him is it's the strategy and his experience, his knowledge across such a wide area, not just locally, nationally, internationally. So that there's a lot of strategies. You may think you're going to have some, you may have an idea, as Peter just said, maybe you said you're in Brisbane and you want five territories. The reality is that often might work out differently. But also the other thing is, more and more with people, we're finding they're looking at having maybe a regional franchisor or a regional management structure. So, for example, one of our customers recently, in the art area, sort of education, but a pottery business, it evolved, and particularly through conversation with Peter, helped to refine the model where in the future, there will be a regional area, whether it's corporate or franchise, won't matter, but there's provision for it. But there are studios which are local, but also to allow the business to grow in the early stages are immobile ones. So it's working in those proportions and that strategy of how you grow the business, where you start and where you step into, and also the geographic area you start in. So look, I think you've given us a heap of sort, really great tips out of there. And from my point of view, I think this pretty much wraps up this particular question. Was there anything you wanted to add in closing, Pete?
Look, I'd just like to add one other thing. We also work internationally. I know most of your clients are national, Brian, but we do people like F45 training in 60 different countries. We do studio Pilates, body fit, all these ones. And what I'm now talking with certain people overseas, and I'm saying, well, actually Australia is quite a practical country for our labour rates and things like that to actually drive your, don't think you've got to go to wherever you're going to go to, you're going to go find a company that can do exactly what we do. Because it's very easy for us. We've got the data now for the whole of the United States. We did that one for F45. We're working right across Europe. Any first or second world country, as I'll call them these days, we would have the data for them anyway. So it's quite easy that to just extend the same logic anywhere you want to go around the world, as long as you're in, I'm going to say, the top 80 countries. So we're probably not that great. I remember F45 once asked us to cut a couple of territories in Botswana. Now, that was a bit funny because... you ended up having to sort of turn left at the kangaroo, the hippopotamus, and right at the zebra. And their aim was, because there was an Australian consulate there, they wanted to have the ability to maybe put three territories in there long term, because there was, you know, 150 Australians at the Australian consulate, and they saw the great opportunity. So, you know, even something like that, we still made the territory.
There you go.
Yeah, we can work anywhere, and that's the way it's
going. Now, I mentioned earlier, and you've also referred to some of your resources. If people would like to go and study some more of your information, because you've got some invaluable data there that's available free, I believe.
Yeah, where
do they go to, Peter?
Okay, so we've got a website, spectrumanalysis.com.au. Please feel free to go onto that. Now, I've even written ebooks. One is on territory planning, one is on strategic network planning, one is on, I think one's to do with schools, because we do a lot of work with schools. But the point is, you only have to look in our website and you'll find those. You're free to download them. We also, on our blog, I've had quite a lot of articles printed over the years. There are ones there to do with territory planning. The Franchise Business Group put out a book each year. We were chapter 11 of that this year about territory planning. I think you'll find the easiest way is just go to our website and look at territory planning, and you'll find a lot of information and a lot of what I've been talking about.
So if they want to get in touch with Peter Buckingham, they just go to the website and go to the Contact Us page. What's the best way to do that?
Yep, exactly that. If you send an email to the Contact Us, I get it normally within a minute. And my aim is always to try and ring you straight back. So many a time I've caught people where they've hit the button, said, right, it comes through me on my phone, I just pick up the phone, ring them, and they go, oh, I just have hung up, you know. I'm going, well, yeah, I know, I saw it come through, I thought I'd give you a call. And I'm always happy to do that. And I had one yesterday where the big school came at me like that. I'd literally rung him back within 5 minutes of him sending the inquiry. So I always try to do that.
Well, I can certainly testify to that. One of the reasons I love working with Peter, and I wish there were more people out there responded that quickly, because I sometimes think I'm his only customer. I know that's far, 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 far from true, but that's the sort of speed of response you get, very personal. Okay, well, look, thanks very much indeed. Just to remind everybody, we've been talking to Peter Buckingham from Spectrum Analysis, and you can learn more by going to spectrumanalysis.com.au. If you can't get or you can't find what you're looking for, give me a call and I'll put you in touch with the man himself. So having said all that, I hope you found this helpful, and look forward to speaking to you with our next Franchise Radio show. And thanks again, Peter.
Thanks, Brian. Great to talk to you.